Thank you, praise team. I hope that's your heart, and I hope that you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to talk today for a couple of moments about the believers. If you happen to have your Bibles, I encourage you to open the John chapter 12, and that's where I'm going to be speaking from today, some. There's some other scriptures I'm going to be sharing from in John in just a couple of moments, but before I preach, I just want to make a couple of comments to you about our church, and I hope this encourages you, and if it doesn't, then just smile and act like you were encouraged somewhere along the way. If you noticed in the bulletin, it says that we had a baby bottle campaign. Many of you participated in that for the Black Hills Pregnancy Center, and if you noticed in there, they raised $9,200, and $1,100 came from our church, so thank you. Thank you very much for being a part of it. Yeah, it's very great. Very good. Thank you for giving unto the Lord in that way. I believe that life begins at conception and how important it is for individuals to carry those babies through full term and bring those lives into our world. And so I'm very thankful for what Black Hills Pregnancy Center is doing and what they will do and have done. And so thank you for being a part of that. You are a part of that. It's one of those things when a lady comes in and she says, "Boy, I don't know if I'm going to keep this baby or not." And then they have this ultrasound and they see the baby in the womb. They're like, "Whoa." And it makes a difference. So thank you for being a part of that. Another thing I want to mention is if you see our building giving report, total given to date is $638,000. Thank you for giving to this building. I appreciate that greatly. We've been December 31, 2012 is when we purchased this land. We've been in the building since the end of June of 2017. And just so you know, when you see that, I hope you don't get confused here, but basically the mortgage we have left on this building is about $600,000. And so where we were and where we are and where we'll be, it's very good. So thank you for giving unto the Lord. Thank you for those who have given to the building and who continue to give to that. That's a wonderful thing. So praise God. And maybe we'll have the building paid off in 5 years. Wouldn't that be something, huh? So when that inheritance comes in, give to the Lord. Not when you go to buy a lottery ticket, because that's, well, if you do that, then yes, of course, give all of that, you don't need to do that, so don't go buy a lottery ticket, because it's wasting money anyway. And another thing I want to mention is this. My family and I are going to McDonald's today, so if you don't have any plans for lunch today, come to McDonald's, and at least you'll get to talk to my wife. I probably won't talk to you, but you can talk. No, I'm joking. I would talk to you as well. We'd love to have you come to McDonald's if you don't have any plans today on East North Street. The title of the message today is The Believers. The Gospel of John is littered with the word believe. Now, it may come in another form. It might be believes or believing or believed. But that word is just littered throughout John. I'm going to point that out to you. And then in verse 11 of chapter 12, it says they were going away and believing in Jesus. I want to talk about your belief and how you believe in Jesus. Believe is a verb. It's something you do. It's an action you take. It's not just sitting back and say, "Well, I believe." No, you have to show that you truly believe it. Believe means this. It means to have confidence in the truth, the existence, or the reality of something, although without absolute proof that one is right in doing so. So, where is it littered throughout John? If you want to follow along in your Bible and you have your Bible with you, then just go back to John chapter 2. It's also going to be on the screen behind me. John chapter 2, verse 22. Here's what it says. "When therefore he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken." John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." John 3:36, "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him." John 4:39, "Many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me all that I ever did." In John chapter 4, verse 50, Jesus said to him, "Go, your son will live." The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and went on his way. John 4:53, "The father knew that this was the hour when Jesus had said to him, 'Your son will live,' and he himself believed and all his household. That's a fun little phrase there. Does your household all believe? Believed, and all his household. Now I know, I'm going to stop for just a moment here. This wasn't in my notes. I know this. There are some households here that are represented, whether they be in your home right now, or they're scattered away, they don't all believe, right? Maybe they will. And you keep praying for them. John 7:31. Yet, many of the people believed in him. They said, when the Christ appears, will he do more signs than this man has done? John 8:30. As he was saying these things, many believed in him. John 10:42. And many believed in him there. John 12:11. Because on account of him, many of the Jews were going away and believing in Jesus. John 12:42. Nevertheless, many even of the authorities believed in him, but for fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, so that they would not be put out of the synagogue. John 20:25. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord, but he said to them, unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails and place my finger into the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. John 20:29. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. And John 20:31 says, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. The book of John is littered with this word believe. And it comes to us again today in John chapter 12. Why was the book of John written? John 20:30-31. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So, simply put, this sermon is going to be about believing. Now, if you're a regular attender, you're going to be like, I think we've already caught this, haven't we? Haven't you already taught and talked about believing a little bit already? I have, but it seems that there's a reason why he continues to say you need to believe, because you need to believe. I can believe my wife loves me, but when she shows her love, maybe sometimes by serving or being patient with me, loving our kids, then I believe in her love again. If she says she loves me, but she never shows that she loves me, I can begin to doubt that, right? Now I can say, well, she said she loved me, and I can still believe in that. I can believe how precious my kids are, but when I sit at a funeral for a baby, a young child, or an infant, I believe and understand again how precious my kids are. When I believe that I have a good job, like many of you, and then hear of others and the challenges that they have, I believe I've got a good job, and that's good. When I believe I have good health, and I go to the hospital, and I see the person lying there in the bed with a bunch of tubes coming out of them, I believe again, I've got good health. When I believe in Jesus and his power, and when I go through a time of testing or a time of joy, I believe again in who he is and what he has done. Are you a believer? Everyone in this room is a believer. Every one of you, every one of us, your neighbor across the street is a believer. Now, whoa. I'm not saying they're a Christian believer. I'm not saying that they believe in Christ, but everyone believes in something or someone. They may believe in themselves. They may believe in a number of gods. They may believe in the stars. They may believe in their success. They are a believer. Sometimes our beliefs are skewed. Sometimes we have been taught something that is simply not true. And I ask the question, what do you believe in? I believe in something, that as I share today, that many of you who are here would consider yourself a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the best acknowledgement to have. I actually had the word, that's the best belief to have, but it's more than a belief. And it's an acknowledgement of the way, the truth, and the life, and that is Jesus Christ. there may be one or two of you in the room, three or four, maybe a handful, that are wondering what you believe. Wonder if you've ever been in that situation where it sure seems to be true, but then somebody comes to you and says, well, what about this? Have you looked into science recently? I mean, what have they come up with? This means something. If you put this and this together, then why do you believe in God? And maybe you've had your belief questions. Maybe your belief has faltered. Maybe for you sitting in the room, your belief faltered in the Lord Jesus Christ for quite some time. And you're like, well, and so you waffled back and forth and you didn't know. What do you do with the belief? What do you believe in? If you believe in Jesus, if you say you believe in Jesus, then you must obey his commandments that are written in this book called the Bible. So today, from the text, we see many believing in Jesus. What would happen to our church? What would happen to your church if you're visiting today? What would happen with God's church if many new believers came, just like it says today? Have we had this awakening in recent days? Do you want others to believe? Do you want them to catch on to what you believe? And you say, yes, you need to believe this. This is good. What are you doing to help them to believe? If you open your scripture to John chapter 12, we're again going to see where people came and believed in Jesus Christ. John chapter 12, starting at verse 9, going through verse 11. It's on the chair Bible in front of you on page 898 if you want to follow along there. When the large crowd of the Jews learned that Jesus was there, they came not only on account of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to put Lazarus to death as well. Because on account of him, many of the Jews were going away and believing in Jesus. The first thing is that large crowds were following Jesus. Large crowds were following Jesus. Now, Jesus is attractive, not because of his physical looks, not that he was ugly, but Isaiah describes Jesus in this way. He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no stately form or majesty to attract us, no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, like one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Now, wouldn't you, if Jesus was here today, and he was performing a miracle, and if he fed all of us really well, a modern-day miracle would be something like this, to give you each what you wanted exactly to eat. Now, that would be a pretty good miracle because, man, each of you have different tastes that you might want. Wouldn't you follow him? If he was doing miracles, wouldn't you say, I believe in that man because he was doing all these things, and especially with this one with regarding Lazarus, he raised Lazarus from the dead. Wouldn't you follow him? This was God in human form. Here's Jesus. Surely people knew of him. I wonder when you started to follow Jesus, when did you place your belief in Jesus and say, I'm going to believe in Jesus no matter what? Maybe you've never done that. But maybe you remember the day. Maybe you remember the time period. I encourage you over your lunch hour today to share when you believed in Jesus Christ for the very first time. And then if you want to add to that, when you believed in him again. Because I think that happens. We believe in him the first time. And some of you have done this. Some of you, you can say backslide. You can say fell away. You could say was rebellious. Some of you believed at a certain time, and then there was a time. And then you said, I'll believe again. Mm-hmm. Some of you have done that. Or you've seen others that have done that. Some of you have never done that. Some of you believed at an early age, and you have believed in Christ all the way along, and you haven't ever had a rebellious time. Praise God. You should share that testimony because that's not all common to everybody. You know that? There are some that they don't ever believe and then they find Christ later in life, or they believe and they have this rebellious time because they, well, what do I believe? And I'm not sure. And there are some of you who have this belief in the Lord Jesus Christ at an early age and you are still following him. You have stayed away from a lot of pitfalls and your testimony is awesome. Well, I really don't have much to share. That guy got up here and said about how many drugs he had and how he was passed out and all those things. And I don't have any of that. And everybody oohed and aahed at him. If you were a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ ever since you were a little kid, praise be to God for that. You should be so thankful. If you're a kid in the room, may you follow the Lord Jesus all of your life and always believe in him, even when there's a test. So I encourage you over lunch today, share your story. What's your story? When did you first believe? I, myself, was raised in a pastor's home, and so as you can figure, not every pastor's home, probably, but the pastor's home that I grew up in, they shared with me Christ early on. I remember coming to the altar a number of different times, repenting of my sins and asking the Lord to be in my life. And that's when I would first believe. I kind of doubted that a little bit. And when I was 17, we moved to a new town. I wasn't excited about moving, and we moved to a new town. And I remember it was either October 2nd or November 2nd, 1989, kneeling by my bed in Chanute, Kansas. I could take you to the house. I could take you to the corner where I knelt by my bed and said, God, I think I've done this before, but I ask you, forgive me of my sins. And I've been believing all my life, but that serves as a spiritual marker. For me, you need to share across your table today. When did you believe? Well, they've heard my story. Great. Tell it again. Because what Christ did in your life in those moments is a wonderful thing. He saved you from the penalty of hell and gave you the glorious of heaven in that moment. Several testimonies that are sitting around you today. I've asked several in the congregation to share, and so let me just share with you a couple of stories, and maybe you would agree with this when you believed. Here's the Jews. They were going away, and they were believing in Jesus. Several mentioned that they had grandparents that shared with them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Praise be to God for grandparents. If you're a grandparent in the room, you have an awesome responsibility, and you have a great responsibility when nobody else. Hear me for just a moment. You as a grandparent in the room, if you are a grandparent, others may see you as old and fuddy-duddy, and you might be like, well, don't listen to grandma because she just always wants. If you are a grandma that loves the Lord Jesus Christ and you continue to say, let's pray before we eat, and do you know Jesus? And when everybody else is worried about sports and everybody else is worried about what's happening in Texas with the shooting and whatever is happening with all those things, you as a grandma say, do you know Jesus? That's your greatest calling. Not to worry about how much money they have and if they have the nicest car and if they're... You worry about Jesus. If you're a grandpa in the room, you do this. You call your grandchildren and you say, do you know Jesus? And let me tell you, I've been praying for you because grandparents make a difference. There was a mom who... sent her daughter to a vacation Bible school. And at that vacation Bible school, a young child who's now older accepted Christ. Many that responded talked about how youth camps were important and youth camps were a significant part of people's lives. It might be your story as well. I was at this youth camp out in the Black Hills and Jesus did something in my life. Parents have shared. Some of you were privileged beyond even your imagination, to have parents that love Jesus Christ. There was somebody else who talked about being adopted. She was adopted, and the adopted parents said, do you know Jesus? Many of us in this room have not been ones that have welcomed children that are on our own into our own home. And here's one that said, I was adopted, and my parents said, follow after Christ. There was one who was an upstairs renter, and the lady said, hey, come on. Same one, there was a book called The Battle for the Bible by Harold Linsell that the man read that influenced his life. Another one in our church was a lonely foster child, and someone shared with this lonely foster child the Word of God. If you're a parent, you have a vital role of not only sharing, but living out your faith. And I hear that in my own life. You ever heard of the Bob Marshall Camp? The Bob Marshall Camp is here in the hills. Somebody in our church came to the Lord at the Bob Marshall Camp at an altar call. Maybe you accepted Christ at a Good News Club like somebody else. There was a person in our church that her parents divorced at the age of 14. And they moved, and there was a young girl who was on the other side of the fence who invited their family to church, and she's been going to church ever since and accepted Jesus Christ. That's when she believed. Maybe for you, it was through a valley. There was a valley that you were in, and all of a sudden, Jesus came at that valley and helped you out. Another one who's much older than this now was 7 years of age, and he was sitting on a wooden pew next to a grandmother. And as that grandma said, when the time came, and the grandma said, "Would you want to go pray?" And so that older man now, who's in our congregation, was 7 years of age, went to the altar and prayed, and he said, "I wept. But when I left, I felt light." Maybe you have that story. Maybe when you believe, there was just something that came off of your shoulders and you said, "I believe, and Jesus Christ has taken the burden off of my shoulders." There's another in our congregation. She was a mother and she was failing. And so she went to drink wine, and she said excessively at times. She asked God to take away the taste for alcohol, and he did. And then what blew in her yard was a newspaper advertisement to go to a Lowell Lundstrom crusade here in town, to a concert. She and her husband went, and they confessed the Lord Jesus as their Savior, and ever since that day, she's been following the Lord. Another one said, age 7. Another one said she believed in Christ at chapel week, kids camp at age 8. Another lady in our congregation, she was a single mom, and she confessed Jesus as Lord. Another one in our church, pastor's son, many chances to believe, but marks a message on Jonah by Pastor Harold North at a kids' camp. Maybe that was your story. Maybe you heard a message, and you remember back to the day, and it was that message that sticks in your memory. Another young mother, 2 kids. She was being abused. She left and she went to her brother's house and she gave her life to the Lord. Another one mentions a guy by the name of Mike Cooper. I love having names of people. Sometimes you don't remember a name, and I have no clue where Mike Cooper is at, but Mike Cooper influenced a man in our congregation, and that man followed after Jesus Christ, and now he hearkens back and says, "Mike Cooper is a very important man in my life." Somebody went to church because of an aunt and uncle. Imagine that, huh? Good old aunt and uncle. If you're an aunt and an uncle, point people to Jesus. A lady in our church was raised legalistic, and later in life she was reached through Campus Crusade for Christ. God bless Campus Crusade. Another person in our church, 24 hours before he was shipped off to the military, he said, "I need Jesus Christ." And sure enough, he had Jesus Christ. He believed, and he has believed in him ever since. Some of you remember CYC, if you're in the Wesleyan Church, yearly revival meetings. But as a senior, this person who had been through all that said, "I need to have Christ in my life." Another person in our church, after an affair of his parents, he was led to Christ by his brother sharing about Jesus Christ. See, God can bring good things out of very difficult situations. And another one, I want you to just hear this because this was a neat testimony a little more. A co-worker let me shower and change at his place since I lived off base, obviously military. He told me that he had recently found the Lord. He told me he was drinking a lot and his life was a mess. One night he knelt beside his bed and asked the Lord had come into his life. I could see his passion for the Lord. He asked the following question: "If you should die, do you think you'll go to heaven?" I told him, "I don't know, but I thought I would." That question stayed in my mind for some time after that. My family started attending church, and before moving to South Dakota, I accepted Christ into my life at an evening church service in California. When did you believe? Your story is important. Who do you believe? Do you believe? I hope you share your story. There's a good challenge for you this week. Now, I mentioned to share that over lunch today, but sometime else this week, share your story. Share your story with someone. Just say, you know, I don't know about you. Maybe it's a neighbor, but I just want to let you know that I go to church, and the reason I go to church is because, and share your story. Second thing I want you to see is people came to see Jesus and Lazarus. Lazarus and Jesus were forever connected together. Now, some knew Jesus individually, some knew Lazarus individually, but they were linked together forever. Without Jesus, Lazarus is not there. He's gone. He was in the grave. But people came to see both. Many were seeing if it was true. Well, is Lazarus really alive? They were watching Lazarus. You may say that your story is not nearly as impressive as Lazarus. You know what? Many of our stories are not as impressive as Lazarus. Not many of us have been raised from the dead. But your story is your story, and it's amazing because of what Jesus has done in your life. You were once dead in your transgressions and sins, but now you have returned to the shepherd and the overseer of your souls. They wanted Lazarus dead. Who's they? The Sadducees, because they don't believe in the resurrection from the dead. So they wanted to do away with Lazarus and dispose of the evidence. But three, because of Lazarus, many believed in Jesus. Because of Lazarus, many believed in Jesus. And may it be said of you, put your name in there. Because of Steve, because of Mark, because of Jim, because of Eldred, because of Fred, because of Jared, because of Craig, because of Ron, because of Helen, because of Joy, because of Tamara, many believe in Jesus. Wouldn't that be great to be said of you? Well, I'm not a pastor. That's okay. Lazarus wasn't. He's not a pastor. He was an ordinary dude. Friend of Jesus, just like you, raised from the dead. What does believing in Jesus mean? We see it in the next section, which I will preach from next week. They called him king. There was a public witness of him, and they followed after him. These early believers, they had the Old Testament. We have now the Old Testament and the New Testament to follow after him and obey his commands. The Bible says that we must take up our cross and follow after him. Not just saying, oh, I believe, but really believing in Jesus. I get concerned of our society that says no to Christianity. You deal with this. I deal with this. But even here, they were saying no to Christ, and they were believing in him. And so it can happen here today. I also get concerned of those who say that they believe when their lives are not showing it. Oh, I believe in Jesus, but I'm a drunk. You can't be. That's not according to God's word. Oh, I believe in Jesus, but I curse like a sailor. That's not what the word of God says. How can you say that? Well, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but I work all the time. I never take a day of rest. Well, that's not what the Word of God says. The Word of God says that you're supposed to take a day of rest. The Bible gives us a mandate. I believe that in order to believe in Jesus, you must believe and practice the words of the Bible. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. The Bible says that we are to be holy. If we say we believe in Jesus Christ, you and I are to be holy. That means set apart. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through him. Please hear this quote from Charles Spurgeon. I would recommend either you believe God up to the hilt or else not to believe at all. Believe this book of God. Every letter of it, or else reject it. There is no logical standing place between the two. Be satisfied with nothing less than a faith that swims in the deeps of divine revelation. A faith that paddles about the edge of the water is poor faith at best. It is a little better than a dry land faith, and it's not good for much. Be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. go into the deep realms, and he will see you through. Abraham, he believed, and it was credited to him as righteousness. You're not believing an event. You're believing in a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. That person spoke the world into existence. That person came into our world and died on the cross. That person rose again, and that person right now intercedes for you at the right hand of the Father. Believe in Jesus. Believe and live for Jesus. And may someone else come to believe in Jesus because you believe in Jesus. Would you stand with me today? I want to pray for each and every one of you. Would you bow your heads and would you close your eyes? If you are not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, may today, as I pray, you believe. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, may you today again say, yes, I believe. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you for you coming to our world, dying on the cross, and giving us the hope of eternal life. God, I pray for somebody here today who has struggled in their belief of you. They say, I can't see God. Is he really there? There's a number of questions that have come into their minds. I pray right now that you would thwart the tactics of the enemy and you would help that individual to believe in you wholeheartedly with everything that they are, with reckless abandon. God, I pray for that for someone here today. And then, God, I pray for all of those that would call themselves believers in yours. I pray that there would just be a resurgence, a desire again, a reminder, a thrust to be a believer in you. And may we be willing to share of our acknowledgement of you being the way, the truth, and the life. And may others come to believe in you because of our lives. God, that's a test for us because some of us fall short in many ways. And that's why we need your power and your grace. And so, God, on this day we say, we believe in you. Would you, in your exorbitant amount of grace, enable us to live for you? So, God, I pray for each man and each woman, each boy and each girl, each person that's in this room right now. I pray that they would believe in you, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that they would share about that this week, and others would believe in you because of what you have done in our lives. May you guard each step, may you guide each path, and may we follow after you. We pray this in the mighty and the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.